Today from the Ohio Newsroom, lessons from Ohio's tobacco settlement.
Support for the Ohio Newsroom comes from Antioch University, accepting applications for its low residency doctorate in educational and professional practice for those working to make schools, organizations, and communities more just and inclusive. More at antioch.edu.
Today from the Ohio Newsroom takes you around the state, connecting you with news and neighbors from all over Ohio. I'm Erin Gottsacker. Over the course of 18 years, Ohio and its communities are receiving about $2 billion from pharmaceutical companies to compensate for harm caused by opioids. The Ohio Newsroom is following the money. This is our settlement story of the month. To start, we're looking back at an even bigger settlement with the tobacco industry. The Ohio Newsroom's Kendall Crawford reports.
In 1998, Ohio was celebrating a windfall of cash. The state was set to get more than $10 billion over 25 years from a settlement with the tobacco industry. But Ken Slankovich, an instructor at Kent State University's College of Public Health, says there was something very important missing from the fine print.
There was no requirement that they use those monies for reducing tobacco use.
Still, the state promised to use a portion of the funds to prevent smoking and created a government-run agency to do so. The Tobacco Use Prevention and Control Foundation helped create community programming, statewide educational initiatives, and a tobacco quit line. Slankovich helped lead the efforts, and he says they were working. Smoking rates in the state were on the decline. And then the 2008 recession hit. The state was in need of some cash.
And so they disbanded the foundation and took all those dollars.
The state decided that instead of receiving the money for years to come, they take a lump sum immediately. And instead of going to tobacco prevention efforts, it all went to its operating budget and job creation fund. The opioid settlement money is protected from that same fate. Instead of having a government-run foundation that can be dissolved at the will of politicians, the state created a new structure to distribute funds, a private nonprofit called the One Ohio Recovery Foundation.
I don't think anyone wants to see what happened with the tobacco settlements happen again here with the opioid settlements.
That's Alicia Nelson, the foundation's executive director. She says this time around, politicians don't get to control all the money. Instead, 55% of opioid settlement funds, totaling more than $860 million, go through One Ohio. The 29-person board and its 300 local volunteers all have a say in the money's use. And unlike the tobacco settlement, the opioid settlement agreement spells out that these funds must be used to prevent opioid deaths.
You won't see One Ohio funding things that the tobacco settlement funded.
But the board structure has still invited scrutiny. Cindy Kamugis with the Ohio Partnership of Impacted Families says she wants people directly impacted by overdoses to have more of a say.
I've heard too many promises from attorney generals, from governors, from senators, past and current. Everybody's going to help, but the money goes to the same people. It goes to the mental health and recovery boards. It goes to the treatment providers. It's not going to the people who are paying the bills.
One Ohio says it has many members with lived experiences involved in its decision making. But Slankovich from Kent State says it should be an official part of the structure. He wants to see an advisory board of people impacted to help direct the funding. That's something, he says, that both settlement agreements critically missed. For the Ohio Newsroom, I'm Kendall Crawford.
That's all today from the Ohio Newsroom. We'll talk with you tomorrow.